Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good morning, J. Will.
What up, boys?
What's happening?
You know, just a popping 90 degrees at 4 a.m. in the morning here.
Nice. You getting ready to go for a swim?
Yeah.
Come on, Key. I can't tell my secrets, man. Putting my business in the streets. What you thinking, man?
I mean, it's 4 a.m., you say?
4 a.m.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's in Phoenix right now. Again, game two of the Western Conference Finals tonight.
No, man. I had the coffee. You know, I watched you guys for the first hour. I watched you, Key, and I'm here, ready to go.
How'd we do? We fire you up?
No, not really. Kind of underwhelming.
Underwhelming?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. This dude went to Duke.
I mean,
it's Key in the Sag Harbor shirt. Sag Harbor sweater.
He's going Sag Harbor.
Are you going Sag Harbor again, Key?
Tourist.
Tourist.
There wasn't anything, Jay, that we talked about, like, that might have made you want to scream at your radio or television?
I mean, the Kobe stuff just gets me. I can't. I talked to Pat Costello yesterday, our producer, and as soon as he went to, so Stephen, I was like, nope. Don't talk to me about that.
I'm not going there.
I'm not going to do that to my boy Devin Booker. I'm not going to compare him to potentially the greatest ever that we've seen in the same category of Michael, LeBron. If you want to put him up, he's up there in my opinion. I'm not doing that to Devin Booker at 24 years old. I'm not doing it.
But we just did.
No, I'm not doing it.
No,
y'all can go ahead and venture
you,
into
you
that
did
world.
That.
Yes,
I didn't do it, and it doesn't sound like Jay's doing it.
No, he's definitely not doing it. But Steve, all right, well, so I didn't do it. Stephen A. did it.
I just wanted to see what you guys thought.
That's all I wanted to know is what you guys thought.
I mean, he's good, like I said, Jay. On, but I mean, come on, man. It's like
this early.
You can't do that, though.
So that's what I'm saying, Key. This is what I hate about.
Even when it's late, you can't do it.
So, homie came on our show and was like. And I wrote it all down, too. All NBA player multiple times, won multiple championships.
Homie? The caller.
Oh.
The caller.
The caller.
Scoring champion all by the time he was 24 years old. And I'm like, allow Devin Booker to have a Western Conference Finals complete series. Like, let my man get them to the World Championship before we start saying, hey, he's the next Kobe. I'm like, he has similarities to Kobe. I like that he has the Black Mamba mentality. To a degree, but I'm not going to say he's the next Kobe Bryant. Like, he has a lot more to accomplish in his career before we can even start to mention his name in the same breath as Kobe. And it's no disrespect to Devin Booker. I love Devin Booker. He's nasty, but you're doing a disservice to Devin Booker. Let him be the next great Devin Booker.
And Kobe was both sides of the floor. And not that Devin Booker can't develop that, but because of his offensive performance and 40 points and 13, 14 rebounds, 12 assists, something along those lines, the conversation started. And you can't have that conversation, like you said, Jay, after one cool game.
Yeah, Keaton.
Minus
also-
Kawhi Leonard. And now you just – let's just for a minute, right?
And then
slow
you start
it
down Devin Booker's game, which demeans Devin Booker, right? You're like, well, he doesn't do this or he doesn't do this. I'm not coming to the table telling you what Devin Booker doesn't do, comparing him to I want to elevate Devin Booker. I want to talk about how good Devin Booker is, not debase him, comparing him to Kobe Bryant at this stage right now.
And so much comes with comparisons, and I tell you and Alan this all the time when we talk about players, it's so much more that comes with it, right? When you start comparing, yes, we can compare the on-court things that Devin Booker show in flashes, but it's so much more off the court that goes with what that person embodies as a whole. You can't just say he reminds the Kobe Bryant, blah, blah, blah. Well, Kobe Bryant do speak like 18,000 different languages. Yeah, and all.
Kobe, just Kobe had an aura. Kobe had a box office. I just always felt like that about Kobe.
He was
like
moving the room.
One. Yeah.
He moving the room.
Yeah, he was box office.
When Peanut Head walked through the door, he was moving the room, period. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that Devin Booker has gotten there or if Devin Booker will ever get to moving the room because there's only a handful of people, Jay, as you know, being around sports as long as you've been around, when people walk in the room, the room get quiet. Mm-hmm. And Kobe Bryant is one of those. Magic Johnson, you know, LeBron James, Larry Bird. Them dudes walk in the room and everybody go, oh, damn. guess who's here?
Here's the difference, right?
You know?
Like, and that's exactly the point. Like, think about this. Kobe was in this is SportsCenter commercial when he was a rookie, mm-hmm. I believe, with you.
Yes.
Shall we?
It's our job to help educate first-year players on how to deal with us, with the media. It's like our own little rookie camp.
What are you going to say? A guy comes up and says, how are you going to do this week?
Hopefully I'll do well. Hopefully we'll do well.
That's very 70s. That's very touchy. Let's try it. I guarantee we're going
to
win.
What do you do when Michael Jordan is coming up the next game? What are you going to say to him?
Good luck in the game.
Good luck in the game, Michael. Good luck in the game, Mr. Jordan. No.
You're going to say, I told Mike I'm going to take you to school. Controversy. Money.
We're making a difference, and you can see it every day.
That's a tremendous commercial. The Carl Ravitch, Kenny Mayne, and the great
Stuart
Scott in there
as well. I didn't
know
that was coming.
You know, Keyshawn was like, man, you know I don't talk like this. They're trying to set me up.
No, it's a commercial, man. It's promotion.
But that's the example, though, is – that's the snap, crackle, pop we're talking about. That's really
Alan, they ain't going to catch me again. You ain't going to hear me on national TV comparing nobody again. Well, caught me once.
You don't want to do that every
time. I'm not doing it again.
I'll tell you what, maybe Stephen A was doing that to cover for you. He thought, let me put this out there in the world and people stop coming at Jay Will.
Well, I mean, I'm happy Stephen A is coming on today because we got a lot to talk about. I mean, we said Donovan Mitchell is the greatest Utah Jazz player ever. And
who
then
said
we
that?
Followed that up with Devin Booker.
Wait, who said that?
Stephen A! He said Donovan Mitchell is the greatest Utah Jazz player ever.
See, I gotta
ever.
Finish medical
I'm like, hold
school.
On, man. We put in Donovan Mitchell over Karl Malone. Malone is one of the all-time leading scorers in the history of the league.
John Stockton.
Finish.
What are we doing?
I need to finish medical school, though. You want to know why? Because I need to check Stephen A's brain. Seriously. Like, come on, man. Stop!
Have you seen? I think it works just fine.
Stop!
How's it working
He's
out
doing
for him
pretty
right
well.
Now?
Yeah.
No, I need
well
to check his brain.
I don't want to get into his
pocket. I'm going to check his brain.
But I think he's
I'm
doing just fine.
I'm going to check his brain.
About what?
Because if he said, I didn't know he said that. I got to check his brain.
Hey.
Not Steven yet.
He's coming out to Phoenix.
Not
we're going to have our little set. We should bring him on tomorrow. We
I'm going to tell him, man, I got to check your brain, Stephen.
Or today.
John Stockton. You know, Karl Malone. Let's just come on now.
Yeah,
just
that,
pump the brakes
yeah
a little bit. Alan.
Yeah,
that's all I'm
down
on.
I'm with you. Look, that's why I got to check his brakes.
That's a take. That's
and
a
now
take.
Look what you've been doing
you
the whole time. You're telling me all the things about why Devin Booker isn't Kobe Bryant, and like I'm saying, like why are we coming into our energy today doing that to Devin Booker? A man had a 40-point triple double. Like, let him shine. Let him live. Let him do his thing without trying to compare him to somebody else so fast.
Man, as I said at the beginning of this show, it's called First Take for a reason, right?
It's called First Take for a reason. But Stephen A ain't just saying.
But those are two.
I can tell you right now, Stephen A ain't just saying something to be saying. This is what he believes. So if you believe that, you say that. Stephen A ain't just throwing it against just for people to get eyeballs. This is what this man believes. Stephen A is not going to say it just to say it. He believes that Devin
There's
Booker
no
could be.
Way he be. Now, he didn't say could be.
Okay.
He said
is.
The next. Is the
because
next.
He believes that. Stephen A is not going to just say it. He really believes Donovan Mitchell is the greatest Utah Jazz player. He believes that.
How could you believe that?
Because he sees
the body
Donovan
of work
Mitchell
that John
actually,
Stockton put
but he
out
actually
there?
Sees Donovan Mitchell winning a championship in Utah. He actually
well, then
believes
say
that.
It after that happened.
Well, I mean, that's he wanted to say it then.
He certainly
it's
did.
It's a good hedge on bet though, because I mean, Utah was very well positioned to win it this year,
mm-hmm.
and it feels like
yeah, so
they might
Denver,
be one of
the. Yes. And so was Portland, and so was the Lakers, and Brooklyn,
and, so was
and everybody.
Yeah,
else.
Not really with Denver, because I mean, the injury that they had, the Lakers' injuries, like you know, it's not until Donovan Mitchell got hurt, and then Mike Conley, like they were well positioned to do it. Disappointing season with the way things ended for the Jazz.
Yeah.
All right, Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com.
Wake up, Jay!
A unanimous decision yesterday, and the NCAA might be the one that
what
got knocked
in,
out. That's next. KJZ,
Stop.
ESPN Radio, and SiriusXM, Channel 80.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
So the story that really broke pretty much right after the show yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court sided with former athletes.
It's about time.
In the NCAA compensation case, the Supreme Court was 9-0. It was unanimous. Like, they never agree. Like, it's rarely do you get a unanimous decision on anything at that level. But they decided that the NCAA can't enforce rules limiting education-related benefits that colleges offer to student athletes. The ruling will help determine whether schools decide to offer athletes benefits for items such as tutoring, study abroad programs, graduate scholarships. And the case doesn't decide, however, whether students can be paid salaries. Judge Brett Kavanaugh wrote that nowhere else in America can businesses get away with agreeing not to pay their workers a fair market rate on the theory that their product is defined by not paying their workers a fair market rate. And under ordinary principles of antitrust law, it is not evident why college sports should be any different. The NCAA is not above the law. It is amazing to me, guys, that benefits such as tutoring and study abroad, and as you mentioned, also, like, you know, you get a laptop with that class or whatever it is. It comes with the program you're in, whatever the school you might be in to study. Oh, you can't have that. It's a benefit. Like, that, I never, like, that's mind-boggling to think that that stuff was not available to a student athlete. But
yeah, it's always
the Supreme Court has now said that can't happen.
Certain universities, I feel like it's always been available. Tutoring and things like that was available at USC.
And you know that when teams travel, there are tutors. So there's more to this. But what this does open, though, is opens the door now to start getting deeper into what schools can and cannot do, as you saw what Kavanaugh wrote there. To discuss this and more with us, Jay Billis, our ESPN college basketball analyst, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Jay. Can I get your reaction to the news from yesterday and where this might be headed?
Well, it's a colossal loss for the NCAA and a crushing blow to the principle of amateurism, and really a massively stupid decision by the NCAA to petition the Supreme Court to take the Alston case in the first place. The ruling in the Ninth Circuit by Judge Claudia Wilkin, although it was not perfect for the NCAA, had a lot of good things in there, and that wasn't good enough. And the NCAA decided to take it to the Supreme Court, and they got absolutely slammed and lost protections that they've had for the last 40 years that won them close to 80% of the cases that were brought on amateurism. And they're not going to win those cases anymore. So this was a huge loss. And even though it was limited in scope because the plaintiffs didn't ask for anything more than an increase in educational benefits. But that signaled that it's open season on amateurism now. So all these cases that are going to be brought coming up, that are going to be cases, there are a couple cases now on name, image, and likeness, but there'll be more brought, and there'll be more brought on compensation limits, period. And that'll be open season on the NCAA. And the highest court in the land has basically said the NCAA does not get rule of reason protect, or they don't get protection anymore as far as being presumed to be pro-competitive. Their restrictions, they're going to be analyzed under the rule of reason, which means the NCAA is going to start losing these cases. And then Justice Kavanaugh's concurring opinion, although it is not binding precedent, it is certainly authority. And it is a clear signal that the NCAA, the Supreme Court of the United States, thinks that the NCAA is a serial violator of antitrust law. And this is going to bring together all the different circuits in the United States. There have been circuit splits in the past, and the NCAA is not going to get the deference from the courts as far as what amateurism means and whether it's a bedrock principle. The Supreme Court said that was just dicta in something called the Board of Regents case in 1984, and that's not going to be used in the NCAA's favor anymore. That was a massive loss yesterday.
Jay, what does this actually mean for the players now?
Well, Key, it means that they're going to get the benefit now of increased benefits having to do with education that are quote unquote tethered to education. It doesn't mean that the floodgates are going to be open to name, image, and likeness or pay, but that's coming. What the Supreme Court basically said is, if you apply our reasoning here for educational benefits to name, image, and likeness or to frankly to pay, how is the NCAA going to justify its position on that? They're not going to be able to do it, or at least they don't see a way that they can do it. And they're not going to get that sort of presumption that their rules are pro-competitive. They're going to have to prove that they're not anti-competitive, and they're going to have a difficult time doing it, and I don't think they can. And you look, Justice Kavanaugh wrote something that I think a lot of us have been saying for a long time. If you applied this to any other industry, it would be per se illegal and struck down immediately. So now the NCAA is just like everybody else. I mean, this is fact. The NCAA has been found in courts around the country and twice now by the Supreme Court to be a serial antitrust violator. And that's beyond discussion. That's fact. And I think the message has been sent by the highest court in the land to other courts in this country that the NCAA no longer is going to get protection from the courts. They're going to be like every other multi-billion-dollar business, and they're going to have to stop violating federal antitrust law. But another thing it means, Key, is that name, image, and likeness, the NCAA is not going to pass any name, image, and likeness legislation on its own now, because those include restrictions, and those restrictions are going to be struck down by the courts. And so they're not going to do it. They're going to go back on bended knee to Congress and say, please bail us out of this by allowing us to continue to violate antitrust law. And I would find it really hard to believe that Congress is going to allow them to do that. So what we'll see coming up are we're going to go forward, and everybody's going to be allowed to do what their state allows them to do with regard to name, image, and likeness. And what I believe is going to happen is we're going to see that the world will remain firmly on its axis. The business will go forward. Fans will come into the stadiums and we'll be just fine. And that's exactly what the NCAA doesn't want, because they've been saying that the world will crumble if athletes get more than a scholarship, and it won't.
JB, sunlight is a great disinfectant. I got to tell you that. And to use a boxing analogy, is this the opening punch of the final combination for the NCAA?
Yeah, Jay, I think this signals that amateurism, I don't think amateurism exists now. I think it's a phony concept, and it's just a restriction on one class of person in a multi-billion-dollar business. I mean, just to give you an example, 30 years ago, the NCAA had something called a restricted earnings coach in basketball, where it was really well intended. They wanted to give younger coaches an opportunity to learn while they were, learn as a coach and move up in the business. So they could only be paid $15,000. Schools started rotating their coaching staff through that position and all that stuff. So the coaches sued under the same theory that the athletes sued here in the Alston case. And that was seen as an antitrust violation. So there's no debate that the NCAA can't, all the institutions can't get together and say, okay, here's the limit on what we can pay coaches. Here's the limit on what we can pay administrators. They know that would be an antitrust violation, but they've always been given deference by the courts that they can do this to athletes. that somehow amateurism is an important part of the college sports industry, an important part of the American landscape. And the Supreme Court just said, no, it's not. None of that was a ruling. None of that is true. And so you're on your own, and you got to start doing business just like everybody else. So I think it's a pretty clear signal that the NCAA's rules are going to be challenged, and they're going to lose. While they probably have won 75% of the cases on this stuff, they're going to start losing all of them now. And I think they know it. I don't think amateurism has ever been real. It's always been a sham. But the Supreme Court just basically said it's a sham, and they said it's open season on these rules. And we're going to see a lot of lawsuits coming up right now. And I think the plaintiffs in those lawsuits are going to win them.
Jay Billis joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline as we're talking about the Supreme Court and its 9-0 decision in favor, unanimous in favor, or actually against the NCAA about limiting education-related benefits. And the door now opens for more as even the conversation has gone forward. But as you mentioned, Jay, you know, we've had 19 states passing laws in the last couple of years about name, image, and likeness and how players can start making money from third-party endorsements. You just said, because I think the story has been that the NCAA has been trying to come up with their own way to, you know, before any of the laws come out, I don't know, we'll handle it in-house. And you said this might make them now kind of retreat from that instead of coming up with rules, because you feel even if they do come up with new rules that allow players, student-athletes, to make money off name, image, and likeness, there'll still be restrictions to it. So therefore, you don't see that becoming a thing. You think that's going to happen through the government, through the courts?
That's what the NCAA wants. Like, look, when this is probably October of 2019, the NCAA came out and said they want to pass name, image, and likeness legislation. I was one of those that said, no, they don't. They're saying they do, but they're not going to do it. And they haven't done it. And they're not going to now. So the Supreme Court decision is going to give the NCAA pause that if they pass name, image, and likeness rights, they're just passing restrictive legislation that's going to be struck down later, and it's going to cause more litigation. So what they'll do, what I believe they'll do, I should say, is they'll let these, they'll go forward and basically put rules that say you can do whatever your state says you can do, and that will be okay. You know, that'll be okay with NCAA rules. And then they'll go to Congress and say, we can't have these differing state laws and operate a competitive business and have competitive balance throughout the country. You know, this is impossible, even though we have differing state laws with regard to taxation, all these other things, and we do just fine. So that's what I think will happen. But, the NCAA has never wanted to allow athletes any more than a scholarship. They've always been restrictive in this fashion. But I think one of the things that I think is interesting is we're talking now, and coaches are talking about it, about this drastic change we're seeing in the college sports landscape. And I would challenge that. I would say that we've had incredible change and drastic change since the 1984 Board of Regents decision. But the change has all come on the revenue generation side. You know, there's been drastic change in what coaches make and what we spend on facilities and what we make with regard to media rights deals and apparel deals. And nobody has said it's going to ruin anything. Nobody has said people are going to turn away. But now athletes may get more than a scholarship, and somehow the sky is falling and the whole business is at risk. That's laughably stupid. And that's not going to happen. You know, if people didn't turn away with all the commercialization in college sports, they're not going to turn away if the athletes do commercials and if the athletes get paid by their schools. That's not going to happen. They fly private. They do all these other things. So I would push back on that idea that somehow the college sports model is being turned upside down. The college sports model has been about making as much money as you can, except for the athletes. That's the college sports model. It is all about money. So, yeah, and we saw that through the pandemic. This is just about the athletes being able to participate in the multi-billion-dollar business just like everybody else.
Yeah, and they are obviously the biggest part of it. There's no doubt about it. Jay, great insight as always. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Jay Billis on the Goodyear Hotline. KJZ presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up next, are we headed for another title in, get this, Tampa Bay. I haven't heard that one. That's after SportsCenter.
Pass missed, point in front. Kucherov grabs center point. Headman left circle. Snap goes. Score! Big. Will he hit the net, Phil? He rips it home. A power play goal for Snap goes. It's 4-0 Lightning.
That turned into 8-0 Lightning, who took a 3-2 series lead in the Stanley Cup semifinals against the Islanders. It was Tampa's largest postseason shutout win in franchise history. Braden Point scored a goal in his 8th straight game. Now 2 games away from tying the longest streak in postseason history. That was held by Flyers' Reggie Leach back in 1976. Game 6, Wednesday at the Coliseum in New York. To the NFL, Carl Nassib becomes the first active NFL player to come out as gay. The 28-year-old defensive end made the announcement on Instagram yesterday saying, quote, "I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest," end quote. Reaction to Nassib's announcement was immediate, including NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, who said the league is, quote, "proud of Carl for courageously sharing his truth today," end quote. To the NBA, Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals tonight. The Clippers will be without Kawhi Leonard once again. The Suns without Chris Paul again. Now, Kawhi is nursing a sprained knee, while CP3, he's in the NBA's health and safety protocol. They both missed Game 1, which the Suns won 120-114. The Suns put their franchise best 8-game postseason streak on the line at 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Radio. Our coverage begins on ESPN Radio at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. SportsCenter brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear knows from here on out every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs. It takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven.
If they don't make it to the Super Bowl, it's a big disappointment. And if you think about last year again because of COVID, it's really remarkable what they accomplished.
The teams will approach you a little bit differently. You know, you're kind of the team everyone's watching now, so there's different degrees of expectation. There's more external noise.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's go back to the Goodyear Hotline and chat with Damian Woody, our ESPN NFL analyst. And D. Wood, you know, we were just talking about how the Bucks maybe could get back to a Super Bowl, win another championship. And it's seems like Tampa 8-0? Just does a lot of,
I didn't even know you could score 8 goals in hockey.
See, again.
Why are you jabbing him, Key?
I just was thinking about it, that's all. Since Woody was going to join us.
Yeah.
Cold-blooded. CD Wood, cold-blooded, man.
I mean, we both really reveled in that Game 4 win for the Islanders. That final play, stopping a goal at the buzzer to preserve the win, even the series up, and then, man, what happened last night? You're a defensive guy. What happened last night?
So, Alan, let's go ahead and get this out of the way, because I hear Key back there.
Oh, they're all
giggling
over
and all that type of stuff. Mm. So here's the deal, okay? I stopped watching when it was 4-0.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, it's time for me to find something else because I already see how this is going down. But I liken what happened last night to when I was with the Jets, man. We went up to New England. We lost 45-3. We lost 45-3. During my time with Rex up there, it was a total embarrassment. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just got slaughtered up in New England. And remember, we came back later in the year in the playoffs and in the divisional round, and we won. Up in Foxborough.
That's the Bart Scott wait game, right?
Listen, as bad as that score was last night, and it was awful.
Awful.
My thing, I would tell Barry Trotz, listen, don't even watch the tape.
Mm-mm.
Bury the tape, just like we buried the football from that game. And the series is still 3-2. Regardless of what happened last night, the series is still 3-2, and you just got to move on from there.
Are you going to be in the building?
Coach.
Are you going to be in the building on Wednesday night?
I am going to be in the building.
All right.
They got skunk.
Now I feel like I have to go. all they're doing is laughing at me today. The sports center, we're leading with it. We never talk hockey on this show until the Islanders lose 8-0.
Every team you go for, though.
What do you mean?
Jets, Knicks. It's
a lot of pain, Alan.
A lot of pain.
Yeah. A lot of pain for you.
That is true. There really is a lot of pain.
Got a lot of cuts on your body.
It makes me stronger, though, damn it. It makes me stronger. So can we talk about other things now? Let's move on. To Mike Tannenbaum told us yesterday he feels like the Bucks should be back in the Super Bowl next year. And you look at the NFC, we were trying to talk about who are the biggest challengers to them. When you think about, all right, who should come out of the NFC, are the Bucks that team for you?
Well, listen, first of all, with Mike T saying they should, that's a no-no. Each season is its own season. Every team is its own team. And I understand that all the starters are coming back, but last year was last year, man. And I would say the Bucks are the favorites, but you also got to look at a team like the Los Angeles Rams. I wouldn't discount the Los Angeles Rams in that mix as well. And obviously, depending on what happens in Green Bay, if Aaron Rodgers comes back, they'll be in the mix as well. But I really like what the Rams have done. Obviously bringing over Matthew Stafford and all the people that they have, all the personnel that they have on that team. So it's not going to be an easy road for Tampa. When you win a Super Bowl, man, you got to have a little special mix. You got to be good, and you got to be healthy, and you got to be a little lucky. All three of those things going to come back again? We'll see.
Woody, you mentioned the Los Angeles Rams. How much pressure is on Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, knowing that Sean McVay went to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff and came up short, but had some success with Goff? When Matthew Stafford's lifetime is 0-3 coming out of Detroit, they gave up a handsome ransom to get him. And in L.A., L.A. is a city of champions.
Key, I think I talked to you about this before. I think Matthew Stafford is under the most pressure this year of any player. I mean, think about it, Key. This is a guy, quite honestly, that hasn't won anything in the National Football League. He's put up stats. There's no question about that. But he hasn't won anything in the National Football League. And for the Rams to jettison the guy that took them to the Super Bowl, and they've had some success with Jared Goff at the helm, and they gave up a bounty. They gave up a pretty penny to bring over Matthew Stafford. With that roster that they have, it's Super Bowl or bust. There are no more excuses for Matthew Stafford, for Sean McVay, for Les Snead. There's no excuses now. It's Super Bowl or bust out there in L.A.
D. Woody, one of the teams I didn't hear you mention was the Dallas Cowboys. If they get their O-line right, can they contend for a Super Bowl?
I think Dallas will be much improved this year. I don't know about Super Bowl, but I think when you talk about the Dallas Cowboys, you talk about Dak Prescott and what he means to that organization. I mean, it was obvious last year. But the true identity of the Dallas Cowboys is their offensive line. And remember, I mean, they had three guys who missed significant parts of the season last year: Leo Collins, Zach Martin, and Tyron Smith. So all three of those guys are coming back healthy. That's going to be huge for the Dallas Cowboys. It's going to help their defense because they're going to be able to run the ball. Apparently, Zeke is in the best shape of his life, and we know they can have weapons on the outside. So I think Dallas is going to win the NFC East. I don't know if they're in the tier of the Tampa Bay Bucks or the Los Angeles Rams, but they'll make the playoffs for sure, in my opinion.
Demi Woody joins us on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So, D. Wood, Carl Nassib yesterday made some news in the NFL, going on to Instagram to announce that he was coming out as gay, and it was something that was received well, as it should, obviously, from not only the commissioner, from the union, but a lot of players around the league and also in sports. Key was talking earlier in the show about how, because we talk about, of course, what comes from this is, what happens on the field, what is said, how it's handled, locker room kind of stuff. You were a guy who played in the league a long time. What was your reaction? And, if he was a teammate of yours, how would you handle it? What would you, what would be your thinking?
Well, first of all, I'm proud of him, man. Listen, I think the fact that he was able to feel comfortable enough to announce his truth out there, it just shows you the steps that I think we're taking in society and more so in the National Football League. Are we there yet? Absolutely not. But I think as a former player, I look at it as, man, there's so many things that, a lot of guys take for granted. You have functions and you know, after the game, a lot of guys have their wives and significant others, and there are guys who – there are more Carr Nassibs out there. There's no question about that in the National Football League. And for them to kind of have to, you know, be kind of incognito about their lifestyle, you know, it's a shame. It really is. It's a shame. And I think for him to make that announcement, I think hopefully it will embolden others to come forward, because no one should have to live in the shadows as far as their personal life is concerned.
Yeah, I that's how I felt like, Woody, is that it's we're talking about how, oh, he's going to be a leader, an example, that stuff. How about he just can now exhale and just live his life and not feel like
he's got to
hide things and just be happy with who you are. Great to talk to you, my man, and thanks for that pep talk. I still don't feel good after an 8-0 loss.
Y'all got skunk.
I'll see you Wednesday night.
All right, Key, calm down, bro.
The whole Key. Show, man. They're just not going to let me
get
it.
I didn't even know
you
could do a hat trick three times.
Will you stop, Damian Woody? Your math is terrible, by the way. Damian Woody,
no, twice,
on the
twice, I mean, my bad.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Get him out.
All right, so coming up, hey, you know, remember when Hamilton said, I'm not going to throw away my shot? But 176er did. We'll discuss.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zoo. When we're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, and a discussion that we've got to get into about Doc Rivers and his plan for Ben Simmons in a minute. But first, we got to take Jay in Chicago, who wants to ask Key a question. Come on, Jay.
Get him, Jay.
Yeah, so I want to know, Key, man, yeah, how are you going to pick on Allen for a sport you don't even know nothing about, man?
Oh.
I mean, that's like me so making fun of you
so
for
let me
being
ask
the
you a
dealer
question.
Who complains.
Let me ask you a question, Jay. Do you know that I don't know about hockey? Do you know that?
I do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do.
And how do you know?
When's the last time the Islanders were in the Stanley Cup Finals?
That doesn't mean I don't know nothing about hockey. Maybe I don't know about the Islanders. How about that?
Hey, tell me about offsides, then.
How about I don't care about hockey? How about that? And how about if I want to poke fun at Alan Hahn about getting skunked 8-0?
Why do you have to even bring that up?
I can do that because I choose to do it. If you don't like the fact that I poke fun at Alan Hahn about hockey, first of all, I don't talk about hockey. If you watch or listen to our show, Alan Hahn does the Sports Center updates. He talks about hockey. I poke fun at him and Woody about getting skunked.
All right,
so there you go,
need to
Jay.
Keep saying that though.
See, Jay in Chicago. This is what we deal with every day. You can't win an argument with Key.
It's not an argument. It's a conversation, Williams.
Right. See,
you can
once
it.
Again. I'm not trying to have a conversation with you, Key, or argue with you. You're right. I hear you. I'm just trying to inform our boy Jay in Chicago that doesn't matter what he says, he's not going to be able to talk you into the fact that you don't know hockey, Key. That's what I'm saying.
And guess what? I don't want to know hockey.
As
I got two teams. I got one team
hockey.
In hockey. It's called the L.A. Kings.
Oh,
did they win or
here
did
we,
they lose?
Here we go.
That's it.
That's your myopic.
See,
Jay,
does.
I appreciate you trying to come to my defense, but you don't need to because while Jay Will might say, you know
no, Jay
Key
Will
wins,
just trying to
I disagree.
The, you, oh, I'm Jay
lose.
Will. Oh,
you
God.
Lose
I'm
by not wanting to know more about hockey.
Don't
you
get mad
losing.
At the Don't Stop. Get mad at the kid that was laughing at the joke in the bus, Key. Don't try to turn this on me. You and Jay in Chicago, you focus on that battle right now.
Well, you know what?
I ain't got no battle in Chicago.
All
he
we know is
like
this.
A fly.
When the Islanders come back in this series and win it and go to the Stanley Cup Finals, you will be there with me, as promised.
SUV
at Nassau Coliseum.
Full meal
for a
SUV,
Stanley Cup Finals
security,
game.
And we're good.
Yeah, no, all that's
full
taken
meal,
care of.
SUV security,
done.
We're good.
All of it's done. VIP
I'll be
treatment.
There and I'll be watching.
You're going to get a jersey with your name on it.
It's a period.
You'll be on
right?
the Jumbotron.
We'll watch the first period.
Is Jay new to the show, though? Jay Keys all the time talking about sports he doesn't know anything about. Did he hear our NFL conversation?
Oh, my
earlier?
Goodness.
Or basketball
that
or baseball.
The hot, that's the hottest.
College
Evan.
Football.
Evan's
or
take right fired. There was a hotter take than Stephen A. saying that Booker is the next Kobe.
If
like, that's the hottest take I've heard on this show since I've been helping out.
If you're going to sit up and listen
helping
to Evan.
Helping out.
An individual who got his job based on his father's acting in the sports writing business.
Off the rails we go.
Then
off
don't
the rails.
Go right ahead and listen
don't
to
lower
it.
Yourself,
if you're going to listen
it is
to a guy.
Than next Father's Day weekend, I did thank it's my over. Dad for the job.
Yes. That, and you told him, I
Evan,
said,
you make
good
the most out of
well.
What you get, yes. brother. You make
as I said before, if you're going to listen to a young man who got his job based on his father's accolades as a major sports
Alan, we're moving
here
on,
in Los
Han.
Angeles
Harry was
area.
A terrific
we're moving
man.
On,
Han.
Okay. Well. Stop. Enough.
What do you mean?
I don't like when you on. Treat our family that way, Kayshawn. I don't like it.
Kayshawn, listen, I had a really good tease and I want to pay it off. Damn it. And that had to do with right, Ben why, Simmons.
This is why this show
and I need to. Yeah, is what? Right. We're in trouble?
Yeah. That's why. We're so in trouble. We're still on the air. Go ahead.
Somehow. Yes, we're on the Ocho at this point. But
I love the
Doc,
Ocho.
So you heard about Ben Simmons, and you heard what Doc said about Ben Simmons yesterday as we talked about it and, you know, what the future is. Magic Johnson saying they've got to move on from him. That is the feeling that it's just time, that what happened with Ben Simmons he can't recover from. Doc Rivers said, I don't know, when asked if he could be a point guard for a championship team. But then a more recent comment from Doc Rivers about Ben Simmons had to do with helping Ben Simmons get to where he needs to be. Take a listen.
I'm positive in Ben. I'm very bullish on Ben still. But there's work, you know, Mark. There is. And Ben will be willing to do it. And that's the key. You know, sometimes you have to go through stuff to see it and be honest with it. There's areas that he can fix quickly, in my opinion. And get better, and that will take him to another level. I look at this as a great challenge, but definitely a doable one. I don't think the average person understands how hard it is to win. You know, it's like you guys didn't win it again. Well, neither did 29 other teams. Having said that, I believe we can, and I do believe we can. The pain has to drive you, but the will to win has to drive you even more.
So there's that. Which sounds like they want to try to help Ben Simmons become the player that they need him to be. Brian Windhorst suggesting yesterday that they might do things like make him shoot with the other hand. Like, it sounds pretty dramatic, Jay.
No, it's not. Huh? We've been talking about this for years. Whenever Ben attacks the rim, he finishes with his right hand. He's been shooting with the wrong hand. It's just finally now somebody else has said it, and now it's becoming a topic of conversation. Like, I like the fact that Doc Rivers decided to actually stand up for Ben. That's a lot more than what he did the other day when he said, I'm not sure he's the point guard of our future.
Yeah,
that, or you can win a championship with him.
Yeah, but it'd be interesting. How do you get this far and you're shooting with the wrong hand? How do you get this far? The guy was an all-star and
better
he's shooting with the wrong
else.
Hand. Can you
then
imagine?
Then what's that say, Al?
It says that he's pretty talented.
Yes.
But it also says to me that they've got serious things to fix with his game, and can they do it? It remains to be seen. Sticky situation, one of sports' best. We discuss next. KJZ, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.